Thank you. Okay, hello everyone. So my name is Jouko Poutanen. I work as an architect in IBM Finland, and I've been working especially with Watson a couple of years. Actually, about the same time when your university got this Watson University label. And very interesting new technology. My goal today is to, I looked what kind of lectures you already had, so there shouldn't be anything overlapping. This is kind of continuing on what you have studied. You had great materials, a couple lectures, guess what you have had. And this is more like you covered the basic and you have a couple of assignments. This is more like a real world view that how you actually use these cognitive capabilities on Watson platform, the APIs, to build industry-specific solutions. And my agenda looks like this. First, you know, this is quite, how you say, technical in a sense. We can discuss other perspectives also, but the goal is that how to actually design and build the solutions. And I hope you ask some questions if you have any, so I don't have to speak alone 2 hours or so from here. First, cognitive reference architecture. There are many implementations over the world using Watson technologies. What we have learned from those and the customers, we have combined those to, I think, quite handy and useful reference architectures. So I guess you are familiar with the architecture concept as such. At least you will get some overview anyhow. Then there are kind of, from the practical point of view, some lessons learned, and we have captured those as best practices and kind of patterns that, for example, chatbots or virtual assistants, what are usually you have to consider when building those, that is directly applicable to robotics, those care robotics or software bots on mobile. I have a couple of demos of those, and that is, I think it's interesting topic, what we have learned about these things. Then best practices with a couple of Watson APIs, and let's see how much we have time, but I included 2 of the key ones here, and you will get links and references to additional material so you can study those with your assignments or other activities later. Then I thought that because robotics is one interesting field to utilize this cognitive technology, there is a section concerning how to design these interactions with machine. And that takes and requires new type of skills, for example, from people or teams that have designed user interfaces. We are pretty good now visualizing things on the screen, for example, analytics results. But now, what if we speak with the machine? What is a good conversation that actually help the user to reach the goal of the application? And that's very important with bots, with spoken dialogue, or with textual, with robotics, so on. Control centers are one field that are interesting in this area, so the people could control the systems as at least at some level by speech. And then at the end, I have a couple of points that where this kind of technology is heading up, and interesting things in the near future. Okay. So first, as a teaser, I took one short video about what we are speaking about, so you can get an overview how this technology is used currently. Okay, that was a short teaser that what currently, to what extent this Watson technology is used, and I think it's quite impressive. And as we speak about building the applications, it's important the industry-specific capabilities and functionalities, because that is defines greatly that what the, how to adapt the technology. And if you spot it, there is healthcare, education, engineering, environment, and so on and so on. So almost every field is going to use this cognitive technologies, or artificial intelligence, I think it's, as we all know, it's quite endless that where this could be applied. And there has been some predictions, that, for example, that within a couple of years, almost all of us will use cognitive technologies, knowing it or without knowing, when we are making, for example, decisions as consumers. And doctors are using this as a decision support technology currently, and many, many other people, as you saw. So the lecture is about how to actually design these kind of things. You have covered the basics, the APIs, hopefully done a couple of examples. And now what we have to consider when building real-life applications. So first, a little bit clarifying that what is actually this Watson technology. So I would like to say a few words about that. Here you see the hopefully familiar looking picture that is kind of a layered architecture view. And this describes that what components this Watson portfolio, this technology stack, actually is contained. At the bottom, there is the Watson Developer Cloud that is also opened to the Bluemix platform as a service, cloud offering, and the basic capabilities are available for there for developers, for us to use and utilize these cognitive services. As you see at the core, there is the big data management capabilities included, because as a fuel, this cognitive technology requires big data. So you actually can create some useful applications. There must be, as a requisite, there has to be lots of data to consume and analyze. And that's something, there is the normal management capabilities for taking the source material, source data in different kind of document conversions, so on, managing that. That is also necessity with this new technology. And as you have heard, this builds on top of the predictive and the statistical analytics capabilities. So this is, the cognitive analytics is kind of a top layer, and building parts are these traditional advanced analytics, for example, plus the big data capabilities. That is actually why we speak about cognitive technology, not artificial intelligence, that the algorithms, like deep learning algorithms, are at the core of this offering, of course, that these are systems that can reason and learn. That is required. But in addition to that, there is a lot of other stuff, like these big data management capabilities and natural language capabilities to speak and communicate with the system. So that's the core part, and it consists of set of APIs. I think you have covered those on your lectures earlier. And whether IBM are partners or individual companies that are not dealing with IBM any other way, all they are using this same building blocks when building Watson cognitive applications. I will show you other pictures. Usually we need other more traditional computing alongside with these cognitive services. But at the end, everyone is using the same set of APIs. At the top left, there are these like Watson commercial products that whether IBM or IBM with some other company has created to the market. One example is the healthcare industry. You saw from the video also that is the leading industry that this has been utilized. Watson for oncology is the very famous product built on this technology with Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital. These kind of applications that are commercially available are built on top of the basic layer. They need and require use of traditional analytics and security, of course, and other kind of stuff. Some of the applications with these cognitive applications, they are industry specific, and some are more horizontal, that they can be used in any industry or any company. But like I said, the theme is kind of the industry specific aspect or perspective. Usually, like the oncology, is very, you know, point solution for specific use case or specific problems or opportunities. And top right, there is the represents applications that anyone can build with, for example, the Bluemix platform, with help with Bluemix. So that could be any company, software company, that sees that there would be a business opportunity to create applications, and those are available as any commercial product. Usually, if Watson is used there, there is some kind of a powered by Watson logo somewhere. I think one of the publishers of academic papers, is it Springer or some other there, you can see it powered by Watson. They are using the, they have lots of publications, so they need some capabilities to, that, and we need as users to search and find the information. So this picture is a little bit, I put there a partial view to this stack, because, for example, the Watson for oncology and many healthcare solutions, they actually could be drawn side here that they use heavily traditional analytics, statistical predictive optimizing, that is also required. So they don't work stand alone with only with these cognitive APIs. But I have other pictures, so that is very important to know. But this is the building blocks as such, and with this kind of applications are built. You have covered the APIs. There is a certain amount of those, and more will come. A new one that you didn't cover in your lectures was the Watson Discovery, I think. Yeah, that is the last one. That is actually a combination of five of these APIs. Document conversion, retrieve and rank, and so on. And it's very useful and handy, so you can do stuff much faster. I don't want, I will not go to details as such to these individual APIs, but we look at this as a, you know, capabilities that we can use and leverage designing applications. Now, if you think that, okay, this is interesting stuff, if I really start building industry solution, what other I need, and how this, what is different to traditional computing or not? Is it all the same? So there is the, are you familiar with this kind of pictures, that this is a, you know, high-level architecture, that we have these users on the left, user interface layer, part of the architecture. Then there is the application-specific layer. For example, in Watson for oncology, there is all the stuff that reads the patient information, sends something to be analyzed, maybe statistical analytics. There is some result, then it uses course retrieve and rank to find new research results from the literature and so on. That is the model view controller type of thinking applies here nicely. No surprise if you have done any software. Then at the server side, usually the middle part here is resides on the application layer, could also be on the public cloud or in some cloud environment or on-premise environment. But the Watson services, those are in the IBM cloud and will be most obviously will always be on IBM cloud. It requires so heavy computing capabilities and the security and everything. So it's going to be in a cloud that you can access from your own environment. Then there could be other, like analytics services, as I said, and some other legacy systems or existing applications. And the new cognitive application, usually, if you look any of these healthcare applications, it's not purely cognitive. There is always analytics, at least, and traditional stuff. And it's a combination of these services. the important part is the content curation. It's not always necessary. It depends on your application and use case or research problem, whatever you are doing with this. But if you build a corpus, you train Watson to understand, for example, your business area or research field literature, then you need that kind of stuff. And then there is the actual content that could be usually resides. With Watson, it's good that this can access and use your own data, the organization's own data. You don't have to rely on some other public or some other party's data. That is a very important thing, that it is your organization, your client organization, and that specific data, the insight from there is available. And always, as maybe not, hopefully not surprise, you have a cognitive system application. It always requires the traditional stuff, security, release management, DevOps, whatever flavor, all the traditional stuff. So this is not so special in that sense. If you are an architect or designer, developer, it's just that you have a new bunch of new APIs, and from design perspective, it's just business as usual. Of course, you need to understand what are the capabilities of the new APIs, but we all know that. Then, what we don't cover here today, but I just said it, very important difference is the total cost of ownership. If you have a system that is mostly the value comes from these cognitive parts, it's very different to actually build and manage, and the cost will go mainly to the line of business organization. Why? Do anyone have idea that what could be different here? If you think about that, the fool for this kind of system is large amount of data, unstructured data. We are building industry-specific solutions. The point is that we as developers, if you are like me, an architect, we are not subject matter experts, SMEs. We are not doctors. We can train the system that the ground truths, that what is the correct answer, that what is best treatment option for this individual with this background. We can't teach the system ground truths, that where to start finding the answers. It has to be from a subject matter expert, from business side, from customer side. That is huge difference, because the total cost of ownership, these are not so extensive IT projects. They are more like teaching projects, and you have to maintain the knowledge of the system. And there is new roles and new jobs coming for curators in much more larger extent, people that prepare the data. We are getting help for that, for example, the discovery service does a good job. But there has to be that kind of jobs. And then the individuals that know breast cancer or other cancer and can teach the ground rules there. And architecturally, this is not so different, but from management and ownership point of view, from financial view, you know, the cost will occur and come from different part. So if you will work in a tietohallinto, IT administration, CIO, something, that's very important to understand. These guys are different in this sense. And if we look from the deployment perspective, that, okay, cognitive system, where does it live? Is it on-premise, on cloud? What is the case? Well, it depends what kind of application you have. I have a demo here that could reside and function properly with only it's deployed on the mobile phone. But in larger systems, you need these other elements also. And for example, it could be that the user interface is that's on the organizations or the clients' devices environment application layer that is required. That could be on Bluemix or Amazon or some other public cloud. It could be on-premise hardware and infrastructure. Usually, most often the content, the actual data, the data sources, that is doesn't come from IBM cloud. It comes from your or from some public source on the right side. And now this slide revealed itself. Oh, what is happening? The green part is something that it is on IBM cloud, if we are speaking Watson. But all the other parts can be whatever the business case, use case requires. So it's very flexible. You can build cognitive applications that you only use the Watson cloud or the Bluemix platform for that. All the other parts, the traditional ones, those are business as usual. This is also sometimes confusing. People think that there is one big system that you magically teach and it's on the IBM cloud or NSA or some other organization. The Watson part will always be in IBM cloud and rest is as you design. And there is an overview picture that what kind of roles are involved in building and managing and living with this kind of a system. You can see the different roles here. Of course, every one of these are not required all the time. If you have a simple chatbot on mobile phone, you don't need all this. But if you have a larger system, then these could be used or be necessary. Sorry about that. I don't know where it comes. There's the system. This is we call in IBM system context view. If we build a large system, we always draw, like I do, a picture like this first, that what is the scope of the system? What are the actors and what are the key information flows? That's a normal architecture design. We see the system there. Data sources are required. Client systems, other systems, legacy systems or external ones. I should be here. And there is some actions that are new to this kind of systems. The content writer editors that I mentioned. Data and the learning, if you build a corpus, that kind of system, that is a new one. Content curator, I mentioned that, for example, in finance, law, and some other industry, I think that this kind of jobs will be, at least to some extent, they are new and this kind of people are required. And the users and so on. But as a reference, you can think about this, the big picture that there are some new roles and it's just like a traditional system in this sense. The new additions there and the importance of the data and is there the subject matter expert? Yes, over there. That should be, I should emphasize this role that it's very critical and important when you are actually, if you teach the system to do something. then another kind of picture. This is from the web. We have an IBM Architecture Center website, and you will get the link that if you study that, what type of systems and example architectures could be used in IoT or smarter care environment. There are few examples I will show you. We have collected examples that what are the building blocks of this. And then these different parts are explained and provided examples that what components could be used to build those. Left side, again, the public network and the user accessing edge service, load balancers, this kind of normal stuff. Then there is again the controller element, the application logic. It's always business as usual. And then start comes to the new stuff. For example, here, the conversation service, speech to text, if we are using this conversational interface by speech. If we only use the conversation as text, then we don't need this component. Speech to text one, the number 8. Retrieve and rank is a service that you can actually teach the ground rules for specific literature, for example, or some other source material that you would like to provide answers to the user if this conversation service is not able to find a proper answer. You can build the corpus, that's not a necessity. Then there is, if you integrate this, this middle part resides in Bluemix in most cases. Could be in developer cloud if you are a partner, but usually it's Bluemix. And if you access there your own data sources in your organization, then you need some kind of secure gateway. And then you can integrate to the legacy systems and external information sources. So quite handy. Nothing so special in this sense. Now, this was what I referred. If you look this kind of picture, you recognize that, oh, it's almost the same. There are a couple of new guys. Speech to text, if you would like to have a new interface. Corpus, really the learning element, reasoning capabilities for the system. And then there is the, we will cover this conversation because it's so important in many cases. In, for example, Watson for oncology, the doctor can ask something, it replies. In bots, you speak something, write something, it replies. Robotics, it's. I think that is very important element. You don't need that all the time, but that's the new and interesting part. And I should have a link here. Just want to show you that this is, the site is publicly available. And what can you see? There is some resolution problem. There is actually interesting options here. This dark area, there is examples of cognitive architectures, data and analytics, DevOps, e-commerce, hybrid solutions. IoT is very interesting in healthcare and in combination with cognitive. So usually, if you are new to this kind of system, you can look at here that how these things are usually composed. Okay, there is integration, security, and so on. Hey, you can see it. Sorry. Yeah. I was referring to this, that we have different examples here. I can't see it now from my screen, so sorry about that. There are different examples, cognitive examples, data and analytics, DevOps, IoT. Usually, if you, for example, have an idea that smarter home care, smarter care room or something, I have an example of that, then you just combine this. See that, okay, these are usually required in IoT type of things. What if I add some cognitive capabilities? Then you just look at what elements are there and just plug and play and do the proper design and integrations and so on. So it's very useful. I wanted to show this because this is very practical and handy. Of course. Yes. Yes. From my part at least, yeah. Okay, that's something that, at high level, that what kind of architectures you could use, how you utilize those. Then let's go to some lessons learned from building these solutions. Call these patterns, you know, that design patterns and so on. So commonalities that occur in many cases. What is the big picture, what we can learn from those? Again, I have to twist my... Okay. So usually, I don't know if it's really different, but these are industry-specific solutions. I have some examples. How we have came here, you know, the first instance of Watson was published in the Jeopardy game that covered limited functionality. It was a black box that it could only compete in the competition. Then we start to open up these services and create this really as a platform and start to decompose the components from the Jeopardy Watson to different parts that those could be used and utilized. And now, at today, it's evolved even more. We will get more and more these APIs and examples. And are you aware of, for example, about the GitHub, the Watson site there? There is a lot of examples with source code that you can study and get up to speed building this. There is a lot of, these are old figures, I think that is like 800 or so, at least, business partners building with this industry solutions, cognitive solutions. Many industries are covered, like we saw from the video. We could categorize a little bit this, that what kind of applications or systems have been done. And some of those are dealing with big data, providing better insight to the big masses of information, like literature, market information, and finance, and so on. There are call centers are a big and first ones that started to utilize this, especially the virtual assistant kind of pattern I will show you. Recommendation machines, I think that in one sense this technology is decision support technology in broad sense. That kind of applications, healthcare, legal. Legal is very, how you say, lucrative industry because, you know, there is a lot of text. And it could be that for a specific situation, it could be that it's a little bit ambiguous that what is right or wrong because there could be overlapping laws and acts and this kind of stuff. So it's very nice field to utilize this technology. I don't know how soon, but it will be, and yeah, and we are working really hard that it would be sooner than later. Yes. Yeah. Currently, as you are aware, because of your exercises, you have done some stuff with this. The major languages are supported, and Finland is, for some reason, I don't understand, it's one of those. But there is now the English, of course, German is new, modern Arabic is very important. I have a demo with that, that also we did with some guy on the floor. And the language is getting better. Swedish is supported by the Alchemy Language API. If there are guys that would like to create a Swedish application for that segment of users, you could already do something. Quite good stuff. Oops. Okay, call centers. That was one example. If you look what has been done, key elements are the language translations there, of course. You could provide a call center that support different audiences, different demographics that speak different language. And there are some companies that has done this. You can Google this. And this usually the call center official or the individual there working there, it has this assistant application besides him, and the customer calls, and there are some tricky questions concerning the legal concerns or contractual details or law or whatever benefits from Kela or something. They could ask this virtual assistant and then reply to the customer and be a mediator there between. Chatbots, you don't need the individual there if you expose the service to the users directly. Then it has to be a little bit simpler questions usually. These services are typically used here. Alchemy language translation could be used, speech synthesis and other way around. Conversation is the new API that could be used here. But this is usually the set and capabilities this require. Virtual assistants as such may be more end-user related. The dialogue API is the old one. It's a conversation currently. And you had exercise with Watson Virtual Agent. It's more commercialized version of this, but it's built on top of this, as you probably had an exercise also to customers. Yeah. Natural language classifiers is useful here. Retrieve rank, you teach the corpus ground truths for a big amount of information, and so on. expert advisors, there are different kind of these doctors could use in oncology. They partly utilize this and they get treatment options with confidence scores and so on. Very useful stuff. This could be applied to remote patient monitoring. That's important that you could provide services with these APIs. Elderly people, they reside in home, better there than they are more familiar, happy there. It's more expensive also to take them to some care center or hospital. And you could create with this technology, this type of application services for them. Then this is important when you start to do this. Lessons learned, what not to do. If you have these conversational API used there, so there is some kind of assistant, chatbot or virtual assistant, it's very important that you start collecting real questions and answers from real users. Otherwise, if I start to pretend that I know that what some doctor asks or the customer in healthcare, I don't know it. I have very limited experience. Just you could use design thinking, what other approach to understand the real user perspective. And it's important to get the questions and answers from the subject matter expert. I emphasized that earlier, and there is one point that why? So you can actually crowdsource also collecting the questions and so on, but that's very important. It will speed up things, and it's more accurate, and then the learning models, they know the real questions, and it's much more cost effective and faster. And then something that how to get there, and this like conversation works and natural language classifier, if you use that, you give examples that what questions and what they mean. Is it raining or something, that the intent is to understand what is the current weather and what is the temperature and that kind of stuff. You could collect these and design and think that what is the meaning of this question. And there is limited amount of time and effort you can actually put. We don't have endless time to collect the questions and answers. So this is one trick that you can ease that. Provide this kind of guidance and hints to the user in your user interface. So they, you know, depending on the individual or the background, they could use, you know, different types of expressions that you do or your segment end users you have used. So this is a very good thing to provide these kind of examples. Then there is a different kind of pattern that one promise of cognitive technology is that this can provide personalized things, personalized medicine, treatment, service, guidance. And that's the end user and the individual is there, the key. We as humans, we are different by personality. We have different feelings, personalities. We think different things. And we have our own context when we are performing some jobs that we could use computer, maybe getting help from cognitive systems also. There's always the work task context. There are different options usually. This is decision support system technology. Other type of, we we make decisions all the time with other applications also. That is one part of the equation here. Then we explore the options, make decisions, and then hopefully something better happens at the end. And you could use these services for this kind of situations. That, for example, the personality inside API, if you have tried that, if you have the source material for that, you could gain better insight. Who is this person? What type of person he is? So you can get help there. Feeling. Usually we express the feelings by speaking, by writing, when communicating. And there we have a tone analyzer API. That's very interesting. And actually, you can create systems that when the user responds, you detect, you add a step there to your application that you analyze that. Is the user happy, frustrated, angry, pissed off, whatever? And you can design that your dialogue or the conversation, the service, responds differently based on the feeling. And also from text to speech, there is custom models you can build. So you can actually, if the customer is unsure or something, that kind of emotion could be detected. You can add, when the Watson replies verbally, you can add some, you know, supportive tone to the speech, through the speech synthesizer. Do I have an example of that? There is many things that we can do, and this all relates to customer experience. You know, if you think care robot for elder people, it's very important that it feel as human as possible. And then if you can detect the people's that is supported feelings and this kind of stuff and the personality, you can modify the service that, for example, the care robot is providing. And it can be more natural and react to the feelings of the individual. This is very interesting topic, and if you think about these movies that we have, these different avatars or so, you could understand your customer segments, for example, if you have youngster and young people and the specific pop culture fans, you could create some language and the tones that are applied to them, and something else for elder people. And all this we usually perceive this as a good thing. Oh, this is sometimes they couldn't realize that there is actually machine serving them. We have a good use case from Washington and Deakin University from Australia, that there was tutors for the students. And at the end of the semester, they voted that who was the best tutor. And the one that won was actually made by Watson. So it's a real story. Because it was so empathic, you know, and responsive. It always responded immediately and recognized this kind of things. So this is very useful and very powerful. Many use cases for this. What about understanding the job or the task context? We can use Alchemy Language API, for example, for that. We know that if there is insurance case or some assistant case, the customer replies something, we can use Alchemy Language to understand what are the concepts the customer is speaking, how they are related, and what is the mostly used words, expressions, what is the tone of those, and this kind of stuff. But also contextually we can understand better that what they are speaking about. If you have some assistant that has a broad portfolio of services it provides, this is very useful and powerful. options. I don't know why there isn't, but we have the trade-off analytics service there. Have you? That's interesting. There are examples that how you use that when you are buying a car, providing treatment to patient, and some if you are investing money to securities. If you would like, if you are a person that like to take risk, you can detect that with personality insight, for example. And then you could offer stocks that are more risky, but more rewarding, more profitable. But if the personality seems to be with this insight analysis or the history that is wants to play safe, then you can modify your offerings accordingly. There's actually very interesting use cases. When you explore data, retrieve and rank, that's the one you build the corpus and add the learning capabilities to the system, and you can use huge amount of data to provide the answers and the search. Oh, trade-off analytics was there. Sorry. It should be. So this is kind of a pattern that, okay, personalized service. Example that what you could use. Does it make sense? Or is it too obvious? I don't know. Hopefully not. Then there, you will get these materials. There are other ones also that I don't cover. Predictions. If you are selling something, your virtual assistant, you have a bot that sells something, you could use this, for example. And there are some examples also. I sometimes, if I saw a reference, I will go to the site and actually try that service to see that how they have used it. Some are, you know, good examples and some are bad. It's surprising that, you know, there's different quality of stuff, but it's the organization, how they design it. That's why I included something that how to design this. For example, what is a good conversation? You will get materials from that. It's very important. If I would like to study that, what travel options I have, a good bargain, so I would like sports, and what kind of a target is would be my holiday trip. If it starts answering some gibberish or totally wrong, I got the feeling that, okay, I don't trust this site, I will go somewhere else, and you lose business. So it's very important. Also, my favorite seems to be the care robotics. If that there is a bad service, that is not good. Or teaching bot, tutor bot. Very, very important things. Okay. Then if you are familiar with machine learning, I have something from this elsewhere, but usually it's that you get a bunch of data that you collect from the real end users, some questions and answers. Just randomly split those and use, for example, 70% for actually building the service at the classifier, and then reserve some part for testing that you keep separate, and then you evaluate against that how well your classifier behaves. That is with NLC, but also in conversation service, the intent that is detected, it uses the same, at least, algorithm there, a deep learning algorithm beneath. And, well, people who know the machine learning, I'm not a data scientist, but I know that much, that usually you split the training data, and that way you can get better results.
Mm-hmm.
Only yours.
Only mine.
Okay. Yeah.
So there is no like a global understanding. It's for us, it's like a big
We don't do that.
Yeah.
It's your intellectual property, and you will get.
A little bit problematic.
Yeah. Well, there's no problem. It's always it's your instance. No one else can get access. Competitors, yeah. There is on many APIs, there is option that you can put it on, and you should be aware of that. There is a flag that you, if you put it on, we don't collect it at all. But if you don't put the flag, IBM uses, but only for, you know, for general development. But we are not selling those to your competitors. Yes, yeah, but that's very important. It's we don't emphasize it much, but there is an option that you can put it on, and you should if you, that's the case. But anyway, it's not how you say. We don't provide that to any external parties, but it's you know used to enhance the, some classifiers of, and for some research stuff and this kind of. But you can put it off. Very good question. Okay.
But I think it also might be wrong how trust that information comes from so parties. I mean,
yeah.
From the users. So whether you can fully trust and do something like valuable on, based on that data or just. So, question of trust is always the
issue. Yeah. Whatever information you get. Well, you are students and researchers, that what is the validity of the data? And there are different dimensions you can evaluate that. Applies here. Then there is some example of the classifier that, what if we have this kind of application buying cars, how do we utilize this and train the classifier? This applies also to the conversation service. I think that as such. And that's useful to know that if you train the classifier, for example, the middle example is good. If you give this input and train the classifier, and then you give the green circle, this is how the classifier returns the confidence level. And there is some good and bad things about it, but this is how it works. And there in the last example you see that, you know, it's when one quarter of the probability or the confidence that it returns the correct answer. And in the middle, it's 50-50, but it's a good point. I think the point here is that it's always the 100% is the base. And everything you put there, it returns with the same logic. And here, example that if you put this kind of input there, and then in the training, and then the user gives this green circle, then it uses, behaves approximately like this. Okay, it's circled, so it must be. I have two examples of circles, and regardless of the color, so it assumes that it is this, and the probability is this. So this is handy when you start training and how it behaves. If you sometimes wonder that where the hell does this confidence come? And there are some other stuff from other services also, but this classifier here, this is, I think this is informative, and also in the conversation service. Okay, And I have a collection, if I don't have, I put there. They are from all the key APIs. They are this kind of a bunch of stuff. There is a lot of details, so we don't have time. But that's an example that you can expect to find this kind of information. And this is, you know, when you actually start designing and doing this, this could be handy. And okay, there is this. Yep, and the link should be correct. So you will get this material also as a study. It's just a pointer. Then I have to, okay. Okay, so that was kind of application patterns and how things work. Useful, hopefully. Oh, the focus was not there. Then there are some best practices with APIs. How much we have time?
Half an hour,
yeah. So I'm just checking that I will cover the key ones. Maybe this would be a good point that I saw your short demo, because there was, you know, these conversational applications, conversation, and these things. I have a short demo with my iPhone, and I explain what is the use case here. So it's just a real life example that what you could do. Okay, here I have this My Doctor application, just demonstrating some of the APIs. Use case is that, you know, we usually have a normal diseases like headache, urinary tract infection, very common with females, that diseases that are quite often and quite easy to cure. Usually we tend to get them again and again, and then on the morning when we feel same problem, then it's, you know, oh, I have to go to the doctor again and see him to get the prescription, recipe. And this is an example that what if you could do that remotely. Put this technology to collect the symptoms and some reasoning maybe, and then provide the information to the doctor on, where he is working, wherever. In around geographically can be very far away, and he could check the situation and decide that do you have to come to visit the doctor or can he write a prescription. Everyone saves a lot of money and time.
Welcome to MidOnMo service, Minna. I am ready to help you.
This is example of the speech synthesis, the text-to-speech API. There isn't any tone, you know, modifications that I mentioned that you could put encouraging, joyful, or there isn't angry voice, I guess, for the service, but it could be useful sometimes, especially for kids. And that was used here just as an example to get more, maybe more personalized service, normal stuff, information here. And the key point here is that, okay, I have a flu coming or sore throat, and I would like to use this app to avoid going to doctor because I'm busy on my work and so on. These actual diseases are taken from, we have City of Hämeenlinna has Minun Terveyteni service. So this is kind of real content here. Just to say that it's you know, some accountability.
Hi, I'm Dr. Watson and I will ask questions concerning your sore throat. Answer yes to begin or no to return.
We could provide this kind of a verbal communication. Yes. Oh. Onko tämä tankero englantia?
What kind of symptoms do you have? For example, a sore throat, painful swallowing, etc. Does your tonsils have visible white spots on them?
This is an example that, you know, we don't need to use the voice. If we are on the bus, I can put the voice off. Then I can chat like this. And usually if you use this a little bit, I think it would be convenient if you are on the car and say, hey Siri, open my doctor. And then start doing this. Ah. Should be careful. Yeah, that's a good one. And from example, something that, okay, take a picture. And how to do, what is the spot you have to take picture? You could provide a video clip for the user, for example. So could be useful.
Are your tonsils swollen? Check with a mirror.
For example, for this, could be a small video clip. Is it more difficult to do? Checking some no jokes here, but yeah. So you could create a dialogue like this, and this is an example that you need the doctor, for example, or nurse to write the script, because I, as an architect, I can't do. That's why I studied real examples here. And for this purpose is that this is actually correct for the use case. You need that those experts. And that's different. They have much more bigger role than in the traditional systems. Of course, then we have needed it, but the extent is much bigger. This actually I did in 3 weekends. We have an innovation challenge last spring. And just to say that it's very fast to create this, because I spent most time studying this iOS development. And the part to creating the, if you have done the exercise with virtual agent, the conversation is, I think, it's not difficult, it's tedious maybe. But it's very fast anyway to create. And the time comes, the biggest time here was that, okay, what are the correct real questions and answers? And then I studied, okay, there is this service. So that takes the most effort. Then you could have a provider. This is a demo version. There is the black off. So this uses now as a default the IBM office there. So this is from Munkkiniemi, Helsinki. Then you could provide that. Okay, show me way to this. Just an example that we used. Usually this is a combination of normal stuff and some new elements. Okay. That is actually seem to be, I've learned that, interesting example for service providers, that because, I don't know, there is some digilääkäri somewhere, but these kind of services are, I assume that are going to be quite popular. And for you guys, you studied this, it's not difficult to do, and you will have the knowledge to do those. I decide that if we have time at the end, then we look some tips for retrieve and rank, for example, as a teaser, and then you have link to the other stuff. But just the flow, I think I could now speak about how to design this kind of conversation, because this is not so technical, but also important that we understand that this requires new soft skills also using this technology. And overview is that this is actually is going to be maybe important profession, how to decide good conversations with machines. And then I think for different use cases, there is some industry perspective is important. If we think about command center in security area, I think there could be a little bit different conversation, accurate, sharp, this kind of stuff. If you have a robot that speaks to elder people, it is a little bit different, I guess. But always it has to be based on the real, you know, understanding of what you are going to provide and what are the, you know, the needs and the personalities of the users. And I really think that the design thinking is the great new approach to get, for example, feed and acquire this kind of information for these systems. It's just one option, but very interesting, and we are using that all the time. And there is new skills that I think linguistics and what kind of professions and knowledge there is linguistikot, puheterapeutit, speech therapist, people that can actually write good conversation. I don't know, what about those people that write commercials and acts, you know, the screen writers and this kind of skills? Traditionally has nothing to do with IT system, IT development. Now they have understanding the business and this kind of mechanics, not so new maybe. But the last one is, I think, is unique, and at least to some extent, we better understand from new angles the users. And this is just like the normal that the bank service, mobile bank application, or some website, if it doesn't function well, you lose the trust or interest, and then you have lost the business. This is really, really important. And this needs carefully designing and planning. And I think there are interesting point that the lean forward is meaning that how proactive this avatar or this virtual assistant should be. How much it drives the conversation, or is it leaning back or be more reactive? You have to think that about your audience and application and understand to get it right. And you have to do new work to get that information. Language, I used the example that younger people, elder people, if you are selling to some specific segment, hipsters or heavy metal people like me, then you are selling something, you could benefit using different languages and so on. And that's something that if you are using the conversational element, it's a good idea to store the history of all the conversation, at least to some amount, to cloud and or some other NoSQL database. Just put it there, and then you can analyze that. And of course, get the information for training the classifiers there if you have missed something. So that's important to remember. Use the use the capabilities to store the conversation, and then you can, that's very valuable information source. The positioning is important, that what is the purpose, viewpoint, proactivity, I mentioned, lean back, forward, tone, personality, disgust. The viewpoint is that you also have to think that is it the conversation and the virtual assistant, is it speaking from the user's point of view or from the organization's point of view. For example, this application, this was like a doctor, real doctor. So it directed the conversation. So it was a directed conversation. Then there are open conversations also. You have to think that what suits your need of your application and user best. It's much easier to actually train and create the dialogue for directed conversation, because then you are in control. You know how you define the scope of the conversation. But if you provide other type of application, the open questions are more flexible for the user, maybe more attractive, but then you have to do much more work to train the classifiers to detect the intents. And then you have to, I think it's my experience, it takes little bit more effort. And those examples that you see in public, those are really short, have you noticed? Put the wipers on, put the music on, so can play country music, and those are trivial. But even this size, and I have some other example, I studied this, that detects that if person are eligible for this asumistuki, peruspäiväraha, unemployment benefits or living benefits from Kela. If you go to Kela site and look those rules and stuff there, it gets more complicated. So really be aware that this takes new type of skills. It's not difficult. It just takes a little bit time to get accustomed. And the tool, the implementation of the tool also, of course, affects how easy it is to get. But this is new stuff. It's not easy to create the tool for this either, because we don't have experience. No one has. Speaking to product manager and those asking some questions, why this is, and this, say that, oh, this is new stuff to us, and thanks for feedback. And now there was in conversation tool, when you create the train the intents, entities, and then the dialogue structure, it's renewed now in January or end of the year. Now it's a little bit better again. So it's I have tested a British travel agency I mentioned earlier. I think they have really lousy implementation of this. I don't say the name, but I think it's not properly done, because I could do much better in a couple of days. So it's just, you have to take the time and effort to get this right. If that's wrong, you know, it's not good image you will get from the user. Just like with the websites, if it's bad, you lose the customers. There is an example in an Italian bank name modified that they would like to provide this kind of assistant for the users. And there is a difficult process for getting these loans for mortgage, asuntolaina. And they would like to study and see that if this provides any help. And this is the original vision, was that, you know, help a little bit, get help to the customer, and a little bit, you know, not so clear expectations for the use of this technology. Answer questions about the loans, this type of loans, that is good restriction. Put some intro statements there, some off-topic, so the user can ask something differently or say something and it doesn't immediately stop or say that get stuck there, to get a little bit of a personalized feeling. To some extent, there should be this kind of capability. And the goal was that to help the customer to get the loan, an easy way to attract the customers. This is a lean forward type of, I don't like this American, so this is proactive type of service they decided, because there is a process and they would like to implement the, you know, the process flow with this technology. And it should provide some information about different options and so on. Quite traditional. But the end result was that they learned from the customer interaction also some new stuff, and it is the end result, the service with this is much more broader and has more personalized elements there than the original thing. And so the lesson here is that what there was mentioned earlier, that it's very important that you actually, when you start doing this, you know, työntekijänsä neuvoo. So just start doing and getting experience and do the groundwork as well as you can. And maybe you can lower the risk a little bit, that take internal users or specific, how you say, trusted customers that can test the system before put it widely open. Because that's for sure for these lessons, that there is always this new stuff, there is something that we miss usually. And this is kind of not so technical, but very crucial to get this kind of application. Many applications are under this umbrella of conversation. And then again, you will get the reference. It's hidden there, but the IBM Architecture Center, there is actually cognitive architecture category. Then there is this prepare plan, at least. And there is actually kind of flow that what you could follow when designing this conversational systems. Then there is also flows how to train the, you know, like so the classifiers for NLC and visual recognition. I'm not sure if that was there, but there is some good stuff from that also. I will include to the materials, because if you use that visual recognition functionality, there is some stuff also what to consider. How many picture bearers, yes, no, you should have, and this kind of stuff, to tweak it a little bit. So good news is that when you start doing this, you have some help, and based on experiences. But that's good. I assume that you guys can't see anything that is written there. Can you, sir? Okay. I can from here, but I should use my glasses. But I don't do that. Okay. Then I collected some points that overall, and a couple of specific examples, how these services are used to build applications. Can you see anything?
Imagine the hospital room of the future.
When will the cafeteria be open today?
The cafeteria hours are from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m.
And we can't really answer all of the non-medical questions because there's always somebody else who needs us right away.
Tell me about Dr. Hollander.
Dr. Jug Hollander graduated from New York University School of Medicine in 1986.
A glimpse of that future is happening now at Thomas Jefferson University Hospital in downtown Philadelphia. At the heart of the system is a JBL smart speaker created by Harman International. It's designed with a set of ears that can pick up voices anywhere in the room.
You want the air conditioning turned down lower, the lights turned off.
You want to listen to ocean sounds.
You want to listen to ocean sounds.
Playing some ocean sounds for you.
This technology will enable you to do it.
If we can help the patient in room 20 without me leaving room 18 while that person's having a heart attack, that's why I went into medicine.
Okay, that's a good example that this could use the conversational systems in a quite serious way also in the healthcare. And there was one, the ocean voice could be a little bit creating more work, you know. People are listening to that when they are sleeping, if they can't go to the bathroom themselves. So it's a little bit risky, but nice example. Sorry, my jokes. And just for you to know, there was the JBL, some model of their monitor microphone combination. If you have that kind of stuff available, you have the APIs there. You could start doing that. For example, a lecture room that sees from the calendar what is the topic, and maybe face recognition see that when Alexei comes to the room and, okay, you are having this lecture. There seem to be 37 students, you know, confirmed attendance. Would you like to get the screens on? Do you need mobile screen and this kind of stuff? And you saw the example from the healthcare room. And there is actual a concept of embodied cognition that we are studying and researching. And it's just this technology will come to the spaces, to cafes, public libraries, maybe buses. Car is an example that maybe you have seen the advertising or the teasers. We started with BMW. The new models will include Watson. And then you can speak with the car and ask, how do I increase pressure to tires, for example, and this kind of stuff. You could create a mobile app that you can speak. There is news API asked that, okay, Watson, what are the news about Donald Trump today? Big news or from some other individual. What are the final sector news in Australia or something, if you have business there? And then the system could speak to you, the answers, and so on. So the use cases are endless. More serious and more consumer-oriented. And for this embodied cognition, you could use all the APIs in different type of technical environments. We can actually build, you know, embed this to very small devices in future. So you could have a pen that you can speak to or something else, something weird that we can imagine. And there is some in robotics also that there is the robotic gateway kind of solution. You use the APIs with the design principles and stuff we discussed, and then you can deploy those to different very small devices in future, or now, or Pepper robots or something else. This is very interesting time. If I would be younger, I would consider my startup company, because this is now the opportunity window now for the new technology. And what is good with this, it's open. You can start it. exploring, and as a student you have half a year and you can extend. Very interesting stuff. Then in broader picture, how is this technology evolving and to what directions? These are the key directions, at least some of those, how personalized these will be. Nowadays these are quite passive ones that they wait something to happen, but in future these are going to be have a very active role. It depends of the use cases. The learning capability is important, and I think your professors are, you know, experts on this stuff. You know, the self-learning algorithms and this. Everyone is developing this. Now, this Watson uses supervised learning, as we know, but the whole industry is creating algorithms that they could self-learn to speed up things. What about the protocols between machines that they can teach each other? And we have a theoretically limitless capacity there. Think if the machines can teach each other, and then we come to the ethical questions and something. I think you covered that also. I think it's very, very important to have an open, wide discussion, because my favorite example is the privacy and security, that when the decision makers were not aware of the technological development, they were left behind, and we see the result. It's just Wild West. I'm very strict about my personal information. My colleague said that I should wear a folio hat, but I think it's very important, and with this technology, the possibilities are quite limitless. So this, if anything, has to be a good, governance and legislation, and I think, what is the läpinäkyvyys? Transparency. And these kind of things are really, really important. If schools and when they will start using these teaching assistants, I would like to know who has taught it and what worldview, what philosophy is incorporated there, because my kid is taught by these assistants. Maybe it's not so different than what the education materials are governed today, that some authority goes through them. The biases are interesting, that some people say that algorithms are bias-free. It's just pure technology. It's math. But we know that the algorithm writer or the selection of source material can incorporate the bias there. So that's why the algorithms used, that should be also transparent to some extent. Not so easy, but very important questions. So now we have a good building blocks of these. Like you guys, you get trained on this. This will evolve to many, many directions. Very interesting, promising technology, and it's good time to be a student of this. Do you have any questions or some comment or statement or something? If not, I thank you for your attendance and hope that you get some new useful information. You will get the materials and the reference stuff. Thank you.